Greetings, this is Kathleen Pearl, and this will be Who Has Revival in Their Heart? There are two things that have begun to happen in March 2021. Remnant Church and the church that follows the truth and that walks with Jesus. First, there's been a supernatural increase in miracles and wonders. Greater works, as Jesus has said. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Mark 11:23. And if you shall doubt, not doubt in your heart, but shall believe. And the second thing is that God will be making or forming, purging, refining, purifying. Some will do exploits. Some will be saved at the end, according to Daniel. But God is going to be dealing with heart issues. And this is a great transition time. He's going to be dealing with worldliness, with money, mammon, all these things. It's the time to come out of Babylon and separate yourself from their ways and come under the covenant, the commandments of God and faith in Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 12. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you. Anoint this time. Anoint my lips. Anoint my tongue to be the pen of a ready writer. Lord, let the hearers hear and the seers see. And let their hearts know and understand and repent and turn to the Lord. We are preparing and getting our garments ready, not just for ministry, that we walk in the linen robes according to the Laodicean church, the righteous works of the saints ordained by God, but that we prepare ourselves for the wedding supper of the Lamb, whether we're attendants or brides or whatever our role is going to be. And I want to share with you a visitation I had many years ago, probably at least 20 years ago, around 1995, maybe it's 25 years ago. But I was living in Northern California, actually right down the road a ways from the Russian River in the Bohemian Grove of notoriety, of great international evil. And I had had a visitation for three nights. One was a cheetah, and I knew these were symbolic of demonic powers that reigned over that place. A black panther. Another night I had a vision of a lion at the foot of my bed. And I won't go into that, but after that, terror-filled room. Terror. Terror-filled my room as I lay on my bed in the night vision. And a vision of Jesus came into the room. He came, there was a door right at the base of my foot of my bed. And he came in and he walked up and came beside me. And he was a very average kind of man, looking man, but he was definitely Middle Eastern. He had brown skin, you know, looked Semitic, had sort of chestnut colored, a lot of red in his hair, to his shoulders, not too long, not too short. But when I looked into his eyes, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, "This is the only safe place." And I looked into his eyes, and they were unfathomable. You couldn't see to the very bottom of them. They were blue because they were celestial. They represented purity in heaven. And they went on forever and ever and ever. They were pools of love that were so deep. They were so deep. And that, I heard the Spirit say, is the only safe place. We're to keep our eyes on him. And then he can, and our submission and surrender, he can orchestrate his purposes through our life. To God be the glory. Mass now, let me launch into, we're going to talk about the condition of the heart. Man's heart has a propensity to evil. even as children. Matthew 12:35 says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the treasure of his heart, a man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth good evil things, right? So good comes out of good, evil comes out of evil. But those things, these are Matthew 12, 34 and 35, and Matthew 15, 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from your heart. So what you're bringing out of your mouth defiles you, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, right? False witness, that's a big one these days. Lies, 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 plenty of lying flies. But God says that in the matters of hearts, the words that he commands us shall be in our heart. And keep your heart. It's Deuteronomy 6:6 and Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the treasures of life. All right, it's not the head, okay? These thoughts don't come out of your intellect, your brain. These thoughts come out of your heart. Why? Because the brain has a lower frequency than the heart. The heart is absolutely the center of man. And this is where flows the spirit out of a pure heart. The pure in heart shall see God. Only, you know, you have to be pure in heart to see God. Because you see out of your own darkness or your own blindness. So we have frequencies. Everything's made of frequency. God said, let there be light. That's a frequency. And most of what we are composed of is actually frequencies. And everyone in the whole earth, every person, every animal has a different frequency. Every star has a different frequency. And it's the mark of who God has created, the Father has created us to be. In fact, there are more scriptures about the heart than your intellect or intelligentsia. And if you're operating out of that, you're at a lower frequency. And the higher frequency, I think this physician, Dr. Carey, I heard her saying that, that the average person operates about a 6-foot frequency around them. And of course, they have the electromagnetic readers that can see what your light is, your vibrations, and the colors around you. It can read these things. The average person extends about 6 foot. But those who are, what shall we say, have greater magnitude, like the stars, their reach can go as far as they have submitted and surrendered and God has ordained. Miles, nations, cities, counties. The heart of God, the throne of God, the lover of Jesus and his bride, like the Song of Songs. In fact, there are more scriptures about the heart. I mean, just in the King James, there are 765 verses in Psalms and Proverbs. And that's not even plural, hearts, or other words for heart, live. Anyway, the issue is the heart of man. What is going on in the heart? And the Spirit of the Lord says, you need to trust in your heart. You can't trust in your intellect. Will lead you astray. That was Eve's problem. Oh, you'll be like God. Oh, you'll know good and evil. Poop. She bit the apple, you know? And she lost her standing with God because God is love. And when we touch his heart, or when the fire of love comes upon us and flows through us and our frequency and our voice, it becomes the voice of the love of God. We are extending to those around us, even the environment, even the creation, the trees and the animals, all of that. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. These are some Proverbs 3, 5, 16, 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord orders or directs his steps. Proverbs 16, 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips shall increase learning. What kind of learning is that? It's not intellectual. It's the understanding and the compassion. It's what we move out of, what causes us to do things or not do things. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Okay, I'm going to talk just a little bit back about frequency resonators. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven thunders that John saw, and he heard what the seven thunders had to say. And the Spirit of the Lord said, nope, or the angel, whoever was with him, the Spirit of the Lord and the angel said, and I believe it was the Spirit of God's voice in the thunders. It was a frequency. It was an electromagnetic frequency. There were lightnings and thunders around the throne of God. This is the voice of God, according on Mount Sinai. And the people were terribly afraid. Okay, so it was the frequency of God. We need to come to God. We all need to come to God in humility. He is the one that even no man comes to the Father except by the Spirit. You know, the Lord, the Spirit brings us to God. Now I want to talk to you about repentance, because part of revival, part of coming into the knowledge of God is we have to acknowledge where we have fallen short and walked in darkness and sin. You know, you shall be like God. You shall know good from evil. So I'm going to tell you a story that I got in March 5th, 2021 from some people I work with, you know, that are part of the wonderful body of Christ. And there were these two young men that are, and others, were ministering to crowds in Syria. And this man named Mats approached one of the ministers and asked him to tell him about Jesus and what Jesus' teachings were all about. So the minister spent a considerable amount of time with him, and finally Mats said he would like to become a follower of Jesus also. Would Omar show him how? But before Maj would let this minister go any further, he expressed with great sadness that he was not sure that God would forgive him for the terrible things he did in the past. So he was convicted that he needed to repent. He needed to turn away, that he had done great evil when he heard the word of God. When the minister asked him about it, he said that he had been a member of ISIS, Daesh, militant, and that he had killed many people, including many missionaries and people that were associated with our networks. Well, this was not something new to the minister. Others had come to him with the same background. He looked Maj in the eyes and told him that if he truly humbled himself, he had to humble himself before God and repented from his heart, God would forgive him. But it had to be truly be from his heart. Within minutes, Omar helped him. That's pray the sinner's prayer. He's prayed the sinner's prayer. And Ma said, oh, he needed to go see his father, but he would be back. So a day or two later, Maj returns back saying that his father requested that Omar come to see him. Now listen carefully. He just didn't go and run off into the terrorist camp, okay? After praying about it, after having an okay from God that this was God's will, and he had peace about it, he followed Maj to his father's house. And Maj's father introduced himself as, we'll say, you know, Suleiman. He then proceeded to tell Omar, the minister, that Maj had told him how he'd become a believer, and a follower of the Messiah, Jesus. He said he too had been an ISIS militant, and just as his son had killed many, many people. And as he spoke of his past, he pulled out a long knife out, a pistol, and a machine gun. Laying them all on a table in front of Omar, he told Omar that he had been extremely miserable and sleepless, saying, "I have done such evil." He then told how he'd murdered some of our network of ministers and people, and he deserved to die for what he had done. And he told Omar he could kill him any way he chose. Pick the weapon, he would not be stopped. Well, Omar shook his head negative and told Suleiman that he was not a killer. He was instead a preacher of God's love, his grace, and forgiveness. After being quiet for a couple minutes, Suleiman said he too would like to become a follower of Jesus. If there was any way God could forgive him for the terrible things he had done. Omar gave Suleiman the same answer that he had given Maj a days before. Suleiman was quiet again for a moment, and then as he looked up at Omar again, he said, "I've three more grown sons here. We were all ISIS militants, and all are guilty of having done the greatest of evil in the last few years. But we misunderstood who Christians really were, and we were misinformed about who Jesus Christ is. We thought we were killing infidels at the command of Allah, but instead we are very guilty of having done monstrous things. We really did not understand who Jesus Christ is. All of us would like to give our lives to Jesus and become followers of him as you and the rest of the people and as Maj has." So Omar and the brothers who had come to him with him prayed with Suleiman and his three other sons. All five men, regardless of their past, okay, have now become part of the House of Blessing community of believers. After they had all prayed the sinner's prayer, Omar and the other minister took him to a place where they could be baptized, wash away their sins. They go into the watery grave and come up in new creations in Christ. After the baptism, the men spent some more time talking about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Suleiman told Omar and the other man that he knew others like himself, and he was going to share with them about who Jesus Christ really is, and God will open those doors. And as Omar and his men prepared to leave, he gave a Bible to Suleiman and the four sons. So the ministers from HOB will see to it that the five men become grounded in their new faith. Praise God. Now, this is a hard-to-believe story, but Corrie ten Boom talks about this when she was in Ravensbrück in Auschwitz and the guard and the cruelties of the Nazis. And how she wrote a letter to one of the guards that was specifically cruel later when she was out being an evangelist. And it was a similar story. They couldn't believe they would be forgiven, but they did. They accepted Jesus Christ as their savior from sins. And a week later, that guard died. So these things do happen. And this is an abbreviated version of the story. The work continues on, and God is continuing to bring even the most wretched, miserable people who have been misled by lies to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. So what was the keys to this story? Humbling themselves, knowing this man couldn't sleep, he was under conviction for all his murders, knowing somewhere that in his conscience that God had given him that it is a sin to murder. It is a sin to bear false witness and lie. But if we come in repentance, repentance says, acknowledging that we've done wrong, and then we will turn, then we will hear the Spirit of the Lord. Then we will see him. Then we will get a heart of understanding, and God will heal us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. For with the heart, And it's a heart thing. It's not a head thing. Romans 10:10. Man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth, for out of his heart, his mouth flows, confession is made unto salvation. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:29, next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, right? And you shall find rest for your souls. Instead of torment, you will find rest, because there is no rest for the wicked. Just like this man Suleiman, he couldn't rest. But when he found the Lord, when he repented, and he humbled himself, became meek and lowly in heart, he met Jesus Christ, Savior of our soul. How do we apprehend this great love? I want to speak to even those of us who've been walking with the Lord for years and years about our hearts. We go along and sometimes we lose our first love. We get swept up by the world. We get swept up by the politics. We get swept up, needs and demands and this and that. And what? Who, this is Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, Matthew 22:37, this is the law of love. Lord, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the next is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as I love thyself.